Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 444th episode, triple fours, of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, and I'm here today with my benevolent co-host. We've got the man, the myth, the legend, R. Sigma.
Howdy.
And we've also got the newcomer, P. McGee.
Hello as well.
And welcome to this podcast. We are recording this live on Twitch, just so everybody's aware. But welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that I came up with in 2007. And people don't let me change, myself included. we talk about everything from the video game to the trading card game and everything in between. Today's definitely video game day, though. Like this is video game day. Hands down video game. So without further ado, though, we've got these wonderful co-hosts, and I just want to know what they've been up to lately in Pokemon and how things are chilling. So, Sigma, how's things going?
Hatching a lot of eggs.
Hatching a lot of because those HA starters came out?
Yeah, and some other news from the new trailer also made it. Like, yeah, you should probably breed things now because you can do that.
Oh yeah, because the GMAX, GMAX soup. Yeah. We'll talk about that a bit more later, but they confirmed a lot of crazy stuff in that trailer, which was really nice.
But now it's like, oh, so my breeding things mean something again. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Weren't you the one that got like a hidden shine or was a shiny starter, but not the hidden ability after like 20 eggs? Was that you?
It's happened twice. On different starters.
That's awful. At least it's not the same one, because then you'd be like super frustrated.
I mean, when I was first playing the game and breeding like a Grookey for the Pokedex, I actually hatched a shiny as well at that
point. Yeah.
So I've got two shiny Grookeys, neither are AJs right now.
No. Oh, I mean, that's nice. You could wonder trade those.
give somebody a
really nice present there.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly just this gen, I'm just really disappointed with shiny hunting in general, because it just boils down to Misuda method.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hate that.
Yeah, hopefully they fix the KO method, because
like it has nothing to do with you know, going out and trying to do anything like semi-skill based, like a mini game, kind of like Dexnav, I think, is like peak shiny hunting. Dexnav is just really cool, and it's a really cool concept. But I'm really upset that like it's just like, yeah, knock out 500 Pokemon. But by the way, the code's broken. So that is just frustrating. Like, I really wish there was like a cool shiny hunting method. I think SOS was horrible too.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that much.
Yeah, it was better than this. I'll say that much. Like, it was better than this. Because like at least there were some like ways you could optimize it and play around with it, but with that with just knock out 500 Pokemon, like that's not fun. I'm gonna do that anyway. I'm gonna do it anyway. We're gonna go around. We're gonna grind, and like there you go. But that's just me. What about you, P. Mickey? What you been up to?
So in the Pokemon stuff, it's been a little quiet lately. I mean, I've been kind of doing a lot of theory crafting for competitive stuff for when Isle of Armor drops. I know we'll talk about it more when that starts, but. There's a lot of things I'm really excited about seeing. I'm really happy that hidden ability starters are here, because Cinderace is obviously just a new version of Greninja, and that's fun playing with.
I think it's a little bit better than Greninja, just like in terms of balance. Not like it's a better Pokemon, because I think Greninja's a better Pokemon. But I think in terms of balance, I don't think Cinderace's coverage pool is as extensive as Greninja's.
Not
and
quite,
is no. crazy. Yeah, I mean, it gets Iron Head. That's kind of cool.
It's nice to Dynamax.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a scary Dynamaxer where it can hit all of its Dynamax moves for
that's true.
A stab.
That's true.
That's the crazy thing. So you can throw out whatever it wants.
You could do the same thing if like Greninja was put back into the game.
Well, yeah, of course.
And I'm sure that will happen at some point. Like Greninja's coming back at some point. I think everybody's coming back at some point.
I mean, Greninja has a higher chance than others, right? Because
yeah, it's the number one Pokemon, right?
It was the number one Pokemon.
Yeah,
like, you would think that would give it some a better odds at showing back up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's largely been it. I mean, I haven't really sat down to do the breeding. I'm too lazy for that. But
yeah.
I'm very excited to be playing that in a couple of weeks. It'll be nice to have a little bit extra story to play and see how that pans out.
Yeah, I'm happy with that because I really want to see how that goes in general. Like, I just want to see how that goes. It looks like it's going to be more extensive only because there's like really cool little cutscenes between characters. And I mean, I should save this for the topic, but and it just gives me a little bit more hope. And I'll reiterate that again later with probably more detail. But I am more hopeful about this DLC after this week. I'm much more hopeful. And I'm also hopeful that we'll get more. I think they really love doing this, and they'll probably do another one. It's like, my question's like, why not both next year? Like, why not a new game and DLC? Like, make me give you $90. Like, I'll do it. I'll do it. My problem's never been price tag with TPCI. Everybody has like price tag issues with them. I'm like, I have no price tag issues. No price tag issues. Myself, I've been working on a few things. I haven't started the Pokemon Go thing, which makes me really sad because like we have that special research that came out with Galarians, and so I have both. It's special though. At least it's special.
Yeah, you get walled real hard by the second star.
Yeah, I know you get. Yeah. I know you get like 15, hatch 15 eggs and
hatch
so
15
and
15 raids. And 15 raids.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good wall.
It's a nice wall. Yeah, I'm okay with it though. Like I like special research. It gives you something to like aim for. Like, oh, I guess I should do this raid even though it's a one star and I have it already. I don't mind that kind of stuff. Like I really really like doing all of those crazy things. Like I really really like doing it. So I hope that's the way it's handled in the near future. But I mean anyway, just give me more. I'm hoping Manaphy comes out this year, but I've heard things that it won't. I don't know. I don't know if that's just like the Pokemon Go community being like really angry at Niantic, or if it's just me, or it's just like it's an actual thing. Because the Pokemon Go community just like really hates Niantic. They really hate because the game has changed in the past year, I would say. I mean, community days are worse. Research boxes are worse. And like both those things are like absolutely awful. They're charging money to do the like extra money to do the remote raids. I'm very confused why remote raid passes have to be their own thing.
Yeah.
And we can't just use the same premium pass to do it. The good news is remote raids with friends are coming soon, I think, which is I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that kind of like makes the remote raids even more confusing, and we'll talk about that in the news.
Yeah,
like you don't need the remote raid pass for that new feature they're adding. So
that's even more confusing.
Yeah,
what's really going on? That's so confusing.
So I guess if you're at home and you see a 2-star raid you really want to do but you don't want to get out of bed, like
yeah,
it's like the one time.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I don't know what's going on with that now. That's crazy. I just want to go raid with you guys because like we live across the country, like all of us are all over the place, and so like because I know Sigma and I play. Yeah, I'm very excited for this. I think that's a very good feature.
Yeah,
they should
I'm
add
excited.
It. I hope they do. So without further ado to milk this segment, let's cut it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. There's a lot of things in the news this week. This was a big week, actually.
It was a very big week.
This is an intense and big week. So we're going to jump right into it. The Wild Area event is shifted. What? And it'll be featuring many G-Max Pokemon from June 2nd to June 29th. It's pretty much like everything.
It's everything except like the last 3 weeks of
Yeah, I think it's like it's almost everything. It's literally almost
everything.
None of the garbage. Yeah, so in Sword you can get Snorlax, Gengar, Kingler, Lapras, Garbodor, Corviknight, Appleton, Toxtricity, Amped, Scented Scorch, all creamy, Grimmsnarl, and Araldon. In Shield, it's Snorlax, Charizard, Butterfree, Machamp, Orbeetle, Dreadnought, Colossal, Flapple, Sanaconda, Toxtricity, Lowkey, Hatterene, and Kafaraj.
What's cool about this is that the version exclusives are swapped. So yeah. Sword has access to Lapras and Gengar, which usually it wouldn't, and Appleton.
Oh, nice.
That's nice. I they've been handling these like raid events very well, in my opinion. Like, this is the one thing where it's just like Pokemon is doing a very good job.
It's been actively shifting, and I appreciate that.
I like that that the support for it hasn't really dropped off either. It's like every month, yeah, here's something. And I'm sure it's just like a couple of buttons they've got to flip on a server. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's very much appreciated that they have that one guy that's flipping the buttons on the server.
I'm very curious on what's going to start happening with the next seasons now that we have like access to all of mm-hmm. the GMAX, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is cool. And if you've missed anything so far, too, it's really a great way to catch up as well. Because I guess we're missing Butterfree, right? No, Butterfree's in Shield. Never mind. I lied.
I was going to say, does it matter?
Nope.
It's a common one. I wouldn't be too upset about it.
No. I'm okay with it. Like, especially with us being where we have been. And like we've caught all of these already. I'm glad that other people can get the chance to do that, though. If they've already missed them or something, like instead of like grinding the one den to like try to get it, oh, it's such a pain. Who's going to be green?
I'll be.
I can be green. Oh, Sigma can be green.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
All right. So Shadow release this week where the hidden ability starters finally were Galar.
Was it a Shadow release though?
Didn't they say it in the trailer?
Or no?
It definitely wasn't in the trailer.
I'm just so tied into the Pokemon community that I didn't realize that it was a separate thing, that it was in a separate announcement.
It was on the website. But
I was so plugged in that day, so I didn't realize. It all blurred together.
Yeah, it was kind of out of nowhere. But you can get your Libero's Gorbunny, as well as like Sniper Sobble and Grassy Surge Grookey.
Two of those are good.
I think all of them aren't bad. Like Snipeshot, if you give, what is it? The... Oh god, what's that thing that increases crit rate? What's that item called?
Or the claw.
Scope Lens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you give Scope Lens to Snipeshot, what is it? Snipeshot Inteleon, he has like a 50% chance of doing 225% damage.
That's great.
So that's not bad.
But you could also just run Togekiss, so.
Yeah. I mean, there's better Pokemon than Inteleon. There's definitely
Inteleon
better Pokemon.
He might have a different place in like OU metagame stuff, or not OU.
He'll have a niche in Gen 9 when they only bring him back and not Incineroar. Like, that'll be what happens.
He is by far the least exciting of the three.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's always one that's really, yeah. There's just always one that's like not great. There's just out of the three, because even like if you look back at Gen 6 was just bad. Outside of Protean, except for Protean, I mean, Magician Delphox, like who cares? Bulletproof Chestnut's not bad. And Gen 7, you got Intimidate Incineroar, and then I don't even know. Popplio's is garbage.
No, Liquid Voice is finding some use.
Not as bad as Decidueye.
Not as bad as Decidueye with Long Reach. That's true.
Yeah.
Long Reach Decidueye is like.
That's dumb. That's real dumb.
The modern starters.
It's very dumb.
It's been interesting seeing Rillaboom get so much better over the last few months, because he was definitely not very popular of the starters in the beginning. And now he's got Grassy Surge, and he's getting Grassy Glide soon. And that's going to be making him pretty interesting when he has priority grass attack.
To be fair, for me, it's just very the three of them just in general had to grow on me. Like I didn't like them for like the first month and a half. I thought
they
looked
horrible. You said it before. Like you need like a phase for a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Pokemon
I think I stand by that theory. Like I hardcore stand by that theory. Every Pokemon needs to have like a period where you solidify it. Oh yeah, that's a Pokemon. And it that process is sped up by having other already Pokemon be in the same game as them. Looking at you, Gen 5. Looking at you, Gen 5. I hands down think that's an issue. I think that was the only issue with Gen 5, was they were just like, yeah, nobody else is here. And they didn't tell you about the post game, like in the marketing material up to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, everything, you can catch some other stuff and you'll see some other stuff in the game.
Yeah. This gen, it was like, oh, these guys are hanging out with Charizard. They must be real Pokemon.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. I mean, oh, this must be Pokemon because there's things that I recognize. I think ever since Gen 6, like I can say a lot of things about that period that have been bad for the franchise as a whole. But I think since Gen 6... the good thing that they've done is just added fewer Pokemon per game. I'll be completely honest. I think if you only add like 70 to 80 Pokemon per game, you're fine. Because then those 70 to 80 are probably slam dunks.
Yeah.
Looking at that, you plus Lin Minum.
Well, that was a Gen 5 problem. You added so many that like you had some great hits. Like you got like Hydreigon or Volcarona, but then you got the Pans.
Yeah.
And then some other garbage like that.
Yeah, exactly. You're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong.
So I can understand that.
So let's move on to the next piece of news, though, before before we destroy our lives.
This is already a long segment. So I told Thash before we even started recording this week it was going to be a huge segment. And this isn't even talking about, like, obviously the biggest piece.
We're not even talking about DLC. Yeah, we're not even talking about DLC today.
So episode 5 of Twilight Wings came out this week, and it focuses on Vice President Oleana. I can't remember what she's vice. I can't remember the company's name. I tell Thatch every time we talk about it, I can't remember the company's name. Microcosmos.
Macrocosmos. Yeah, that sounds
Macrocosmos.
Great.
So that's what she's vice president of. But it was kind of a cool episode. It was
I like seeing
a bit of focus on her, and she's not like this crazy villain because she doesn't have that much dialogue in the story. So to have her kind of like be the...
like a former scientist, and like, it was really cool. I liked it a lot.
And then in the anime news, Pokemon anime is resuming after that hiatus as a result of COVID. So it's starting back up tomorrow, June 7th, with new episode. And we're still expected to get the first batch, I think 12 episodes, on Netflix later this month.
So that's kind of getting back on track now. I think it's like this week. I think it drops on Friday.
I was trying to find the date. I couldn't find the date.
It drops on the 12th. Yeah.
So get excited.
I'm very excited for that. We should do a watch party. Watch Thatch's Netflix account. You know, it's like a really bad ex-girlfriend that just like holds on to your Netflix password. But it's just the Puckle community, and we're watching Pokemon. So Pokemon Shirts is releasing a customizable polo shirt designed for the Kanto Pokemon. So you can like get buttons on them that are like Pokeballs, Great Balls, and Ultra Balls. The pocket is the color of like the standard design that you would typically get up for these shirts. And you can get them white, black, navy blue, yellow, or pink. I would like to say that the polo shirt is the inferior shirt.
To the Hawaiian shirt.
The Hawaiian shirt's the king of all shirts. especially in like hotter climates. Like it's great. The Hawaiian shirt's where it's at. But if you want to go get Pokemon shirts over there, I think the Serebii code still works too.
Yep, it does.
For free shipping. Yeah, like they are expensive shirts, but honestly, I got mine finally. I know the people on stream can see, but I know that the people at home who are listening to this on Monday can't see. But I'm wearing mine, and it's actually super comfortable. Like it feels like a $100 shirt, if I could say it any other way.
Like is this the Totodile one?
Yeah, it's the Totodile one.
Okay.
The Beach Boys Totodile one. it's great. I mean, they're very comfortable. Like I will say, like $100 well spent. I might look into getting another one of like a different design, obviously. Not like I don't need like a closet full of Totodile Hawaiian shirts, but maybe I do. I don't know. All right. Moving on, though. Sigma, tell us more about these mystery gift things that are happening.
Yep. Galarian Corsola is now here because Ponyta's gone. It's nice because it is an ability. So
yeah,
there's that. And with it, you can also get a set of evolution items, including the Sweet Apple, Tart Apple, Chipped Pot, Cracked Pot, Whipped Dream, and Sachet.
Ooh.
I didn't know until like a couple weeks ago when Scron was on the episode that that's how you pronounce sachet, or that's how sachet is spelled. I always was like, it's a sachet.
Yeah, good old sachet.
It's a good old sachet.
I thought it was satchel for the longest time. I wasn't reading it right.
Sachet makes way more sense. Like, it makes more sense with the French Pokemon. Oh, yeah. But, like, I didn't know that's how you say sachet.
Anyways, Thursday, Galarian Meowth starts. You get a bunch of big nuggets and XP candy larges. So
yeah. And they did announce an end date for him. They clarified this
week. Yeah, that's a week. Who would have thought?
No, it's 4 days. It's 4 days.
Oh, only 4 days.
Yeah. That's why it's worth mentioning.
Because it's going to go right up to June 17th.
And he's got the best reward, so you got to make sure you cash in on that one.
Yeah. Get that XP candy. Mm-hmm. XP candy's always good.
I'm very excited for this, though. This is very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So many battles. Okay, go.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into the much detail.
Don't go into the nitty gritty.
No. Other than that, Pokemon Players Cup, so that tournament that they announced in like response to... everything else being canceled, they're going to try to do a tournament over the summer. So that's been announced for a schedule that's going to be in June, July, and August. And it has TCG, VGC, and Pokken, just because.
Why not?
For like the next 3 weeks. Next week, so, or this, I guess this week at this point is DCG. Next week,
yeah.
DC. Yeah.
Week after is Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after is, yeah. So, and that runs pretty much all through summer. There's different events going on. So there's a schedule online. I think they're streaming it as well. So just make sure if you're participating or interested in watching that you check in with that schedule.
Mm-hmm. So, Pokemon Go news. I did talk about this a little bit in the intro, but the Throwback 2020 Championship is now active. So you can also buy the ticket and get two. It's just the same thing twice, but you get candy instead of two encounters for a Galarian. Those that completed all 4 weeks will be given it for free, and then you can also buy it. It does not expire after a week, though, because this is not, I don't know what they called it the first time, timed research, I guess. Yeah, and it's not timed research, but it's special research. And you can buy the $8 ticket if you haven't completed the other ones, and you can get all of the same rewards. It's just the other people will get double everything but the Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And so those that did not complete it or would just like extra candies, you can buy that pass. And then from June 3rd to June 8th, Unova Pokemon and Galarian Stunfisk are in wild spawns, which is really cool. My wife was telling me that she caught like Galarian Stunfisk. She was just like went out and did it.
I had one of those spawn in the house. It was nice.
Yeah.
And there's increased raids and wild spawn rates. I'm really upset. There's no spawns in my house. They're like all across the street and it's just out of my range.
Oh.
Oof.
It's just like literally you walk outside and you like walk on the sidewalk and it's just like, oh, there's a Pokemon.
Yeah. You probably moved like either really close to like the last update where they changed where everything was.
Yeah. It was very upsetting. It was very upsetting. Galarian, Meow, Zigzagoon, and Darumaka can also be hatched out of 7k eggs, and Berserker and Obstagoon can be obtained in-game, which is really cool and really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are going to be in eggs after June 8th as well, alongside Alola forms, which is very cool as well. More Pokemon Go stuff, though. There's so much.
So they, like we also alluded to during the intro segment, the raid invite feature allows you to invite up to 5 friends to challenge a raid.
Perfect.
Regardless of your friend's location, and they do not need a remote raid pass.
So, like, you don't need a raid pass, or, like, do you just not
you need a raid pass. Okay. You need a regular raid pass.
That's fine.
I'm really okay with that. Like, I'm really okay with that, though.
Well, because it's nice, because there's those are events every week, like, this the raid hours, yeah. Like, there's whatever the special one is. So, theoretically, we could now be hosting, like, an hour where somebody is going to go to those, and then they can invite people, and we can actually have a whole little event going on.
Honestly, like, I know I'm typically all about the community, but I'm really okay if it's just, like, me, Sigma, and a couple other people.
I look forward to catching legendaries.
I can catch legendaries. Like, I'm very happy about this. Like, this lowered the bar. Because
yeah, this is good news. I like
because, it. As I constantly say, my friend circle is full, okay? I can't go make more Pokemon Go friends. Like, I don't need the local Pokemon Go friends. All right, so I'm very excited.
Last couple of pieces of news, and we can move on. So Go Battle League's now in the Ultra League until June 22nd. So make sure you have your Ultra League Pokemon ready to roll. I think we mentioned this last week, but Trepinch is the breakthrough research. I'm pretty sure we talked about that, which is okay. You know, it invites new players to be able to get some of the things veterans already have.
Mm-hmm.
And then this next weekend, so June 12th through June 15th, there is a special Latios and Latias weekend raid event.
Yeah.
And you can get their shiny form. So maybe we can put that new feature to use next weekend.
That would be really cool. I'd be really into that.
Next weekend.
Yeah.
I'd be really, really into that. That's it for the news this week. There's not much Puckle news because if we talked about the stream that's going on right now, it's too late for you listening at home. But, there's not much else going on in Puckle. Oh, the one thing that is going on that I wanted to say. So this week we had to push a lot of the stuff back that Puckle was going to announce due to this stream. And so typically on the first Friday, I've been trying to do a Puckle community day where anybody can come and use the bot. It is on like a super slow mode, so you can't just sit there and like spam it. But you can come over to the Puckle Discord this Friday, June 12th. That's it. From around 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And you can go ahead and use the breeder bot. It's going to be open for everybody. Like I said, though, it's going to be on slow mode, probably like once every 30 minutes. So please make sure that your syntax is correct or you will lose your turn. That is the way I'll put it. But it's a great way if you want to try it out and just play around with it. I just like giving it out to people and just giving them a chance to use it as well. So on that note, I think that's a good place to end the news. So we are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Puckle's Poke Quiz.
and welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. That means they don't get to use the internet. There are a few things, though, that they do get to do. They get to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that come to us from our Discord. Our Discord. Discord. The Discord channel. Nowhere else. See how I said Discord 3 times and I didn't say Discord, iTunes reviews, and emails? I didn't. Just Discord. So that's where all the trivia questions come from. And you get to go ahead and submit those there. For each question they get right, they get a point. There is one question that will have a bonus point inserted into it, so they can possibly get 6 or 7 points, depending on how well they do. If they do have a hint that they can cash in for an extra point if they don't use it and get all the questions correct, so they get a maximum possible total of 7. They are in a race with their fellow co-host to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. They have a Lapras pool float now. That is above the price line, but like I'm just saying, maybe that's
there's a Thwacky plush.
There is a Thwacky plush.
Thwacky plush.
There is a Thwacky plush. And then you, the fans, if you actually get your question read on the show, you are entered into a raffle once we hit 30 points to get $20 credit to AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for all anime-related thingamajigs. So on that note, let's jump right into it, right? Are we happy with that? Yeah, let's jump into
sure.
it.
Sure, yeah.
Our first question is going to be from the egotistical Elekid. Which Generation 3 Pokemon was the first event Pokemon to be distributed in a Cherish Ball? This is a stupid question. Why did I let you do this, Ruby?
You can ask the other one. It's too late.
I asked this question.
This is a distribution we probably never got.
I don't think we did. I wouldn't be able to answer this question. I will be 100% honest with you.
Well, that's cool. Feeling good about that.
I'll give you the free hint if you want a free hint.
Sure.
I'll give you a free hint. This Pokemon is a regional in Pokemon Go.
Okay. So there's Illamise, Volbeat. What else is regional?
I don't know if Fossil and Minun count anymore.
No, I don't think I've got both of them, so I can't imagine they're
Relicanth, probably not.
Ooh, it could be Relicanth, weirdly.
I
wouldn't say no to Relicanth. He's kind of hard to get.
Tropius.
Tropius
is at least a cool Pokemon, unlike Relicanth.
I could see it being either of those. I'm really torn. Part of me thinks Relicanth because you need him for getting the Regis, but I don't know. They're kind of both difficult to get. I'll defer to you because I genuinely have no idea.
I feel like there's another regional we're forgetting.
That's 4 regionals. Isn't that how many there are?
Because there's Illamise, Volbeat, Relicanth, Tropius.
I feel like there's another one somewhere like right in the middle.
Are Zigzagoon and Seviper regional?
Seviper and Zangoose are, yeah.
Zangoose, that's what I meant, yeah.
But I feel like it's not hemisphere. Part of the UO, though.
Yeah.
I can't think of what it is. I'm trying.
You know what? Let's go with Relicanth just because of the Regis.
All right, so Relicanth is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Tropius.
Dang, you shouldn't have listened
obviously,
to me.
Obviously, Tropius was the first Gen 3 Pokemon to be given away in a Cherish Ball. All right, our next question is going to be from Farmer Fox.
I don't like your voice in this already.
I didn't like that.
This question was here last week, and I didn't ask it for a reason. So... which Pokemon that can learn Quick Attack has the lowest speed stat? I will give you the free hint that it is a Generation 3 Pokemon, and it might be very easy to get in Pokemon Go right now.
So
if you do stuff for 7 days in a row.
Trapinch. You know
he's
what?
Got a 10.
Is it Trapinch or is it
Trapinch has got like a 10.
But does it learn Quick Attack?
I'm just based off Thatch's nice hint because...
Okay.
What is it? Isn't Vibrava have like a 70? Like, it's not terrible.
I guess.
Because Zigzagoon would have lower than a 70.
Maybe it's an egg move for Trapinch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure.
Trapinch.
Trapinch is the correct answer with a base speed of 10.
Yeah. No, it's not fast.
It's not fast. It's not at all. Their next question, as always, is your Pokedex entry. So your Pokedex entry this week is from Chief. Just Chief. How you doing, Chief? Come on, Chief. Let's go. All right. Its Ultra Moon Pokedex entry reads, it can predict the weather from moisture levels and wind direction. It only reveals itself when there are a few clear days in a row. Who is this Pokemon?
Interesting. Would it...
Can you read it one more time?
Yes. The Ultra Moon Pokedex entry reads, "It can predict the weather from moisture levels and wind direction. It only reveals itself when there are a few clear days in a row. Who is this Pokemon?"
It wouldn't be something like Politoed, would it? I'm trying to think of aquatic or like a bird kind of thing.
I was wondering if maybe it was like a... No, I don't think it would be Flabébé.
I'm also trying to remember who's in the Gen 7 or in Ultra Moon.
Yeah, because Flabébé was added in Ultra Moon.
I'll definitely defer to you because you went with the last one. I was wrong.
No, I am all for the Pokedex questions.
So I'm almost one. I feel like we should save our hand for the next one still.
Yeah, where we can get your points back. I'd be okay with Politoed. Like,
I don't know any of his Pokedex entries, so I could be entirely wrong on where his Pokedex entries are generally. Okay. This isn't my strong point.
I'm going to need an answer, guys.
Your call.
I guess we can throw it on Politoed.
All right.
Politoed is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Ribombee.
Ah, of course.
Of course, Ribombee, the Pokemon known for detecting things with moisture. All right, so because you guys are behind by 2 points, this next question is going to be one with multiple answers. This is going to be from Oof, the Quagman.
I love that name.
What moves are tied for the lowest accuracy without one-hit KO moves? And there's 1, 2, 3, 4 answers, so for every answer you get a point, up to 3 points.
Okay.
So is it like Inferno and Zap Cannon? I think those are like 50 accuracy.
Yeah, those are definitely... there's another one. Oh, God.
Those are correct. Those are both correct. That's 2 points.
Isn't Dynamic Crunch 50, or is that 75?
It might be 50. It has the same kind of effect, so sure.
Okay.
I feel like there's got to be a... How many are there? Four?
Are there four or five? Thatch, sorry.
There's four.
Four?
I only need three. Three that gives you 3 points. So you have Zap Cannon and Inferno already. I just need one more.
Do we get a number of them wrong? How many can we get wrong?
You can get one wrong.
So one and done?
Yeah. No. You can get one wrong and then you can get one more. Two wrong. You can get two wrong. That's what I meant.
Okay.
You get one.
Okay.
So what's your next answer?
Are we going to go with Dynamic Punch?
I guess so, yeah.
Dynamic Punch is correct. That is 3.
Okay.
So that is 3 points for you guys. The other one is Dark Void. Because Dark Void got reduced.
Oh, yeah, they lowered the accuracy.
It was stupid. That's why. That's honestly
what was it before? Like 85?
It was like 80% accuracy. And like the problem was like it's
everything
it's
could duals. Be hit.
It's got a higher accuracy than Hypnosis. And it can hit two Pokemon at once.
Like Grass Whistle's a 55.
Yeah.
That only hits one.
Yeah.
Thing like, might be a 55 too.
Yeah, Dark Void was stupid. And that's why Smeargle was cancer in VGC in Gen 6. Like it was just cancer. So... I'm very happy they fixed that problem.
Yes.
All right. So that gives you guys 3 points. So you're 4 for 4 now. Look at that. We're back.
Yay.
We're back. All right. So your last question, as always, is a base stat question. And we need to know, this is from Liger, what poison type Pokemon has the lowest special attack of all poison type Pokemon?
All right. With physical. All right. This we is, can catch
this
him
is
a hit, right?
This is, this, you can. Yeah, I guess if you don't. Yeah, you didn't use it, right?
Yeah, might as well throw it out now since we can't cash it in.
It's a mega.
Beedrill. It's definitely Beedrill because that line has the lowest.
I think they took it down to like 15 or 10 or something.
Yeah, that line is messed up for poison types. It's got like 3 different stats during that evolution line that are the lowest of something. I think its attack, its speed, and its special attack are all the lowest at some point. So that's a weird, very like funky line. So it's definitely Beedrill.
Yeah.
Beedrill is correct. With a base special attack of 15, the next lowest poison type Pokemon, believe it or not, is Weedle with a special attack of 20. And then after that, Kakuna with a base special attack of 25.
So, consistency, I like it.
So there you go. So that's 5 points for you guys today. I know the chat is mad at me, but that's okay. So we're going to go ahead and... Oh my gosh. Okay, so this just changed up the standings. We're going to go ahead and we're going to change this. We're going to sort column. So in first place, we have P. McGee with 16 points.
Woo!
In second place, we have a three-way tie between Sublime, Whimsicott, and Narsigma with 11 points.
Yeah.
We have Seth Vilo in fifth place with 10 points, Jushiro in sixth place with 6 points, Linian, Scrawn, and Dr. Shamu all tied for seventh with 5 points, and Basket has yet to get on the board.
I like how Shamu's on the board, but he hasn't been on yet.
He has, well, because Claude donated the points.
I know.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to cut it there, and we're going to take a short break and be right back at you with the topic. And we have another iTunes review for you guys this week. This week we have it from DeWatt King. He leaves us a podcast review. This is a podcast review. You can read it. Good podcast. Well, thank you for that, DeWatt King. You too can have your iTunes review read on the show. Just go ahead and leave the review on this show, and maybe we'll read it. But let's kick it on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is all of the news from the Isle of Armor DLC we got this week. It's super exciting. I'm very excited. There's a lot of cool stuff here. It disproves a lot of the rumors that were floating around prior to the release as well. I think one the biggest one was, like, one of the big leaks, A-Drive covered it a few weeks ago.
Ugh.
Was that and so that's fair. Is that he that Galarian Slowbro was going to be a ghost psychic type, and it was going to have like Corsola Galarian Corsola on its arms or something instead, which is all right. I mean, it, thankfully that's not the case. I love that we got Mega Man Slowbro.
I'm down with it.
I really love it. I love the poison psychic. I thought that was the way they were going with it, honestly, just because of the way they like colored it. I don't know.
Yeah,
if that,
the coloring is one of
the coloring of just like the slowpoke in general. I was just like, oh, it's going to be a poison type. That's going to be really cool. And I was just like, I hope that's what happens, because poison psychic, like, that's a cool type combo. I think this is the first, right? I don't think there's another poison.
First. Yeah.
So this is really cool. And so it gets quick draw and shell sidearm as a quick draw as an ability, which is just quick claw, right? It's just quick claw as an ability. And
I don't think we know for sure yet. That's what the description sounded
okay.
like.
Okay. And then it gets Shell Sidearm, which is a really cool move in and of itself, which is a poison-type attack that does damage either based on your physical or special stat, depending on which one's going to do more damage to the opponent.
And can poison, I believe.
And can poison, yeah. It's a cool move, and I mean, poison's a bad type. Well, bad. It's a bad type, in quotes. So it's really cool to see them get something as awesome as that.
I'm really curious what his stat distribution's going to be.
They've been really good.
Workable.
They've been really good with regional forms of not tampering too hard with the stat spreads. I think they'll flip around like one or two stats, and that's about it. And so, like, we know what Slowbro is, and if Slowbro does that, that's fine. I would also like to see if Galarian Slowbro still holds on to Regenerator.
That's the big thing.
If it holds on to Regenerator, nice. I think this thing's solid. It'll be great. I mean, I'm happy to just get regular Slowbro back as well. I want the regular Slowbro back. We also got Galarian Articuno, which is psychic and flying, with the competitive ability with the freezing glare attack, which is like a psychic type move that can freeze.
Yep.
Which is crazy. Galarian Zapdos fighting flying with defiant ability and thunderous kick, which is thunderous kick a thing?
It lowers the defense.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you guys for details on that. Yeah. And then Galarian Moltres dark flying with berserk, which is really cool. And
yeah,
fiery
everyone
wrath.
Forgets Berserk is an ability.
Because it's on Drampa and nothing else.
He can't use it. He can't use it that well.
No, he can't.
If you're
not
running
at all.
Drampa, you're probably running Cloud9.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just such a pain in the butt.
And Fiery Wrath is nice because it flinches.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
It really is.
A flinching fire move. Or a flinching dark move?
I guess it's not that exciting.
Dark Pulse exists, which mm-hmm. also does that, so maybe it has a higher chance.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think it's also really cool. They added two new Regis. These aren't regional Regis, which people thought for some reason. I mean, they look like new Pokemon. You have Regieleki, the electric type Pokemon with the transistor ability and Thunder Cage attack.
Which sounds like Fire Spin.
It's just Fire Spin, but electric from what it sounds like. And then Regidrago, the dragon type Regi with Dragon's Maw ability and Dragon Energy attack.
Sounds a lot like Water Spout or Eruption.
Yeah, for dragon. And it's also Charizard number 5.
Charizard 5.
It's Charizard 5. They did it. They found a way to do it, guys. What a world we live in. They found a way to make Charizard number 5 a thing.
Yep. And did you mention that this is coming out June 17th? I don't know.
No, we didn't actually. This is coming out June 17th, by the way, guys. This is like 2 weeks away. I'm really excited. I think not these legendaries, though. No, not these legendaries.
Just Slowbro.
Yeah, I think the thing that I'm most excited about is that it's coming out on a Wednesday. I don't like, I'm really excited about that because then I can just go stream it and I don't have any problems. It's also the like right before Father's Day. So like maybe I want to go do something with my dad, you know, and not make content, but it's really cool that like the week of I can go do that and make some content.
I mean, maybe it's Wednesday or maybe it's like zeros UTC, which means it's Tuesday night for us.
We'll That's see. What I'm hoping for.
Ooh, that could be exciting.
So they also started putting together a list of Pokemon because we got new Pokemon confirmed for Isle of Armor as well in the trailer. Like Starmie, I think, is one of them, like the Starmie line.
Yeah,
I think I counted and they're only at 57, which is very exciting to me.
Ooh, that's quite a few to be seen still.
Yeah, so they say there's going to be over 100, so I'm assuming like maybe like 107-ish, you know? I'm like 100 plus whatever extras we feel like, you know?
Yeah.
And I know Sigma tells me this all the time. He's like, I'm excited to see which ones aren't in the decks.
Like, what other starters and mythicals are we going to add to the back?
You keep giving me such hope, Sigma, that when it comes out and there's nothing there, I'm going to be disappointed. And I'm upset
by
that.
They set a precedent. Like, I wouldn't mind if the starters were in the actual decks. I just don't expect them to be in the decks.
No, I don't either. Well, I honestly think they're going to put Squirtle and Bulbasaur in it.
Squirtle and Bulbasaur, maybe the Alolans.
I think they're going to put Squirtle and Bulbasaur in there. The Alolans are kind of already in the decks, aren't they? Because they're forms, so they're just a form.
No, I mean like the Alolan starters.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like Alolan forms, like Alolan Meowth and stuff like that. Okay,
Alolan
never mind.
Starters.
We had a miscommunication there. Yeah, I would like to see something like, I think that's what they're going to do, honestly. I think they're going to do something like that. Let's see. So there's also new G-Max moves were announced. Venusaur with G-Max Vine Lash, which is just G-Max Charizard. And then same with Blastoise with G-Max Cannonade, which is just the water-type Charizard attack. I'm okay that they're all getting the exact same thing. Because the thing that I hated the most out of Gen 6 was that Charizard got two and nobody else did. No, that's stupid. That's really stupid. Like, why? Like, that's just blatant favoritism.
And like, they made two really good Charizards.
And they made two. And then Blastoise Both is stuck being useful. Blastoise. Like, at least Venusaur's one form could hold on.
It had an arm cannon.
I mean, design-wise, Mega Blastoise was really cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And but otherwise, no.
Yeah.
Urshifu apparently is stupid with his G-Max moves as well. I remember this. I remember reading this and I'm like, that's cool. So they broke the game. And so it's a G-Max One Blow. It hits through Protect and Max Guard. Or G-Max Rapid Flow, which also hits through Protect and Max Guard. Yep.
And his new ability lets him hit through, as long as it's a contact attack, can go through Protect or Max Guard.
This is fine. This is fine. Whatever.
He's balanced.
It's fine. Fine. Whatever.
Well, and they said, I think right off the bat, when he's released, he's going to be available online to play, like, online with.
Yeah.
I thought I remember hearing that from the first announcement.
They said use it online.
Yeah, they said use it online, so I don't know if that's the same.
I don't know. Expecting it to be released probably July. Probably July.
Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable. So let me take a look here. Yeah, so that covers pretty much that. We do have new tutor moves. So apparently this was surprising to people that like we didn't get like general tutors back.
I'm okay with not having
I mean, TRs have... exist. TRs are essentially tutors. They gave like all the good moves. Yeah, they gave all the tutor moves TRs. Like, that's fine.
It would be cool if we got new TRs.
I wouldn't be surprised if we got new TRs. Like, if that happened,
yeah, that'd be
five more or something.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but I also wouldn't be surprised if it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But like the things that don't have TRs right now, we don't need them to have TRs. Like, we don't need everything getting toxic, and we don't need everything.
No.
We don't need everything getting knockoff either.
I think everybody's kind of hoping that we get back to some kind of version of what Pokemon used to be, and I think that's well gone. That's well gone. Like, it's not going to be like, hey, if it could learn it in the past, it can learn it now. Except for like Soft Boil Clefable. Like, that was the one that they were just like, no, keep that in the past.
We'll get the teleport TR. It'll be fine.
Yeah, what? It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Nothing's wrong. But, I mean, we get Burning Jealousy, which hits both opponents and can burn if the stats were already boosted that turn. That's decent for VGC. And it's confirmed to be in Chandelure, so that's pretty cool. Grassy Glide move is given priority if the current terrain is grass. Rillaboom was shown using it. We don't know if it's physical. I mean, we could be disappointed that it's special.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm hoping not. It seems like it's like Grassy Glide. Seems like you're
Pokemon,
like smacking it
Pokemon
something.
Has done things like this before, though. Like it's
I
like,
know.
It's,
I know.
Like I when we learned about like the pledge moves, like we got really excited about them back in Gen 5. Mm-hmm. And those are like obviously a disappointment.
Yes.
They at least buffed them back in what, Gen 6 or 7?
Yeah, they did, but they're still bad.
Yeah. Yep.
And also worth mentioning with the tutor moves is they require the Armorite ore, in case people mm-hmm. were wondering what that was for. It's not for some weird like armor evolution thing that's been going on for like 2 years now, people have been thinking about. It's just
Seth.
It's just an item you get from max raid battles, and that's what you cash in for the tutoring.
Yes, Seth.
Very simple.
God.
We have Armored Zacian and Armored Zamazenta.
That's honestly the best place it could go. This also indicates that pretty much everything we data mined in home is real.
Mm-hmm.
New features, and Sigma's favorite, is that Max Soup is going to be a thing. It's an item that you can give to Pokemon to allow them to become Gigantamax versions of themselves.
Yep. Which apparently you get ingredients by doing raid battles, so cool.
Yeah, I'm also very upset that this is something we had to wait for the DLC for.
Yeah.
That should have been something that was included in the main game, in my opinion.
Well, I guess I get the appeal because it made the max like the cycle of max raid battles more exciting when new things were coming in as features.
Yeah, I get that. I just think those are like terrible ways to do it. Like if it were me, I think it was a misfire when they had an awesome opportunity. I think you could have done more stuff like the Mewtwo event we had for Pokemon Day.
Yes,
I think you'd done more stuff like that as opposed like I think that's more exciting than doing constant like G-Max Charizard's popular right now raids. I think that would be way more exciting. And like you could have been trickling in new Pokemon. Like we're getting a dump of like 100, right, with Isle of Armor. Mm-hmm. And we're still missing 200. Like let's keep that on the table. Like we're still missing 200-ish Pokemon when this is all done. Probably a little over. And they're going to dump the 200 so we have these other 200 Pokemon. You could have just been like trickling them in like one a month, you know what I mean? One or two a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that would have been a better cycle in my personal opinion than doing G-Max Pokemon. And I think G-Max would have had more of an appeal if you could have taken a Pokemon that you trained throughout your journey, like in November,
yeah,
while you were doing it, and then, now they can become their G-Max form.
I mean,
I think that would just have way more impact.
G-Max felt poorly implemented anyway, which is unfortunate.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you get a 1.5% chance that this rare den happens to get this D-Max. It's like,
yeah,
that's what we're going to do here. That seems awful.
I absolutely agree.
How do you do this for a competitive game? That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But they fixed it.
Absolutely agree. I think G-Max was just a massive misfire.
The moves aren't even worth running over like the regular Dynamax move.
Yeah.
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 There's like three that are worth running.
I mean,
and like Lapras obviously being the biggest.
Yeah, Lapras, Charizard.
I just think that's really cool for Dynamax, though, to be like, hey, Dynamax is probably better than G-Max. So everybody's like semi on an even playing field. Like, I wouldn't say Gigantamax Pokemon are better than Dynamax Pokemon,
like,
which
I feel
is kind
real
of cool.
Bad.
Yeah.
Real bad for Dragon Tower. Like, you don't even get a spite. You get half a spite.
Yep.
For your instead of lowering attack, which is good.
Yep.
Poor Duraludon.
Oh, all right. But so we also get the Cramoratic, which allows you to combine up to four items to make a new item.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. But
I don't know if it's new items or like you can put a couple things together and then somehow you got yourself a Toxic Orb.
Yeah. A Toxic and Flame Orb would be like 100% the way to do that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the Galarian Star Tournament.
That's for Crown Tundra,
not for Isle of Armor, but yeah, that's going to be in there. So it's pretty much like, hey, remember how we used to put things in there that were fun? Here's something. Yeah, you can have it a year after the game came out.
It's not even that exciting.
I know it's not,
no.
Right? Like if they were just like, hey, you can go to the Emerald Battle Frontier, I think I would be more hyped than this.
I'd be so hyped.
Hey, look, this is essentially the Pokemon World Tournament coming back.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the worst version of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, no, instead you just battle people from Galar that you've already battled.
Yeah. They have such like a wealth of characters that they could like really lean into. I would say in terms of just like Pokemon models that we've had in previous games, like they've brought back like past characters. And I feel like we really haven't had that happen at all in Sword and Shield, which is kind of weird. Like we even had like Grimsley cameo in Alola. Like what's up with that?
That was weird.
That was really weird.
Have the precedent that like legendaries are fine to have on trainers now.
Yeah.
Like you could actually have N show up with his Reshiram or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Who cares?
That would absolutely be cool. But I mean this is all really cool. Like I'm very happy with it. The one thing I was really disappointed we didn't hear about, and this is just me being me, we didn't hear about Apricorn Balls. I would be the most hyped person in the world if they would just be like, yeah, Apricorn Balls are coming back, and this is how you get them. And it'd be like, you just made my day, TPCI. Like, you just made Thatch's day.
I was shocked to see how much Crown Tundra they put into this trailer, though.
Yeah, they put a lot
in.
I
was surprised.
I wonder if they did that on purpose to an extent. Just to be like, look, guys, it's still on time. It's still, like, coming.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's what it is. Like, and obviously, because we've had the issues with the quarantines that have been going on and stuff like that. Like, I think that might be what's happening. Is they're just like, hey, look, it's still on time. It's still rolling out. To be fair, also, Nintendo at their investors thing said all of their DLC was still on time back in April.
Yeah. It seems like they wanted to showcase, too, that we were getting, like, interesting post-game features, just not mostly with Isle of Armor. Isle of Armor is kind of like an extension, new areas to raid and all that. But in terms of, like, because the Crown Tundra, I don't think you mentioned it, also has the Dynamax Adventure thing, too, where you can, like, go with buddies and go do, like, these, like, special raids together. And you kind of wander around as a group.
I'm okay with that. I don't think it's exciting.
I don't think it's exciting, but like those are like, they're not adding like a lot of new features.
Well, they're really trying to sell Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor as the package deal.
Yeah.
And because you can't buy them separately even anyway. So
no,
I think they're trying to sell it as that. And like, this is like the one Pokemon DLC they're selling. And because I wouldn't be surprised if something similar happened like after Crown Tundra. Like they're just like, hey, here's another DLC a month later that we're working on that comes out on Pokemon Day for the 25th anniversary, and you get to see Red and you have a good time.
Yeah, the Galarian Star Tournament.
TPCI, I know you're not in chat right now on like the stream, but like when you listen to this on Monday, just remember. these are free. Okay.
So something I did like about this trailer, though, is that looking more at the routes, they look like routes
in
the wild area format, which is something that I expected in the main game that we didn't really get.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
From a lot of the cutscenes in general that they showed of Isle of Armor, it made me feel better. Just because, like, there's just, like, normal cutscenes that you would have had in a game where it's just like, oh, hey, like, you have to do this, like, random side quest. Here's your quirky side quest. Where you're having dinner with these people now and stuff like I love that because I mean, that's the kind of stuff we used to have in Pokemon. Like Gen 2, you have to like go help Kurt go down Slowpoke Well. We had to do any of that. I miss that in Sword and Shield. Like I miss being able to have like those quirky side quests where it's like, yeah, you have to do this.
Yeah. The base game, it felt like the wild area was developed separately from the rest of the game.
I absolutely agree. I think the wild area was something they thought of like, hey, what can we do with the Switch? And they put it in. And I honestly think, I don't want to say Sword and Shield were designed for the 3DS, but I think they were designed in case they needed to go to the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
Like with that in mind, mostly just because, I don't know if it's just like a Mori style or whatnot, but if you look at like where you go in Sword and Shield, I mean, it's four islands. It's four islands all connected by trains. Just like we had the four islands in Alola that were connected by boats.
It doesn't feel like one cohesive region.
It's
sometimes.
Not. It's not, because you go from your little starter island and then you hop a train and you get to the first three gyms on that island. And then you hop a train from those and you go to the next five gyms on the next island. And then you go to the fourth island and you go take on the champions. And that's really the way it felt, because it's just like it's three separate loops. That's essentially what Sword and Shield are.
Three loops and then like the champion area. Yep. It's like, oh, cool.
And that's really what it feels like. And which is unfortunate. Like I felt bad that I noticed that. But I think Isle of Armor is going to be great. I think it's going to, because like what I really expected when they announced the wild area, I was kind of expecting us to have to like run back and forth through it to get from town to town. And that obviously wasn't the case, which was kind of a disappointment. But I mean, the wild area was a cool idea and concept. It just got old.
I feel like this is more what they
that's what I was
expecting from like games going forward, is where you combine those two elements together, like a route and wild area combined.
Yeah, that's what I'm really hoping about that.
And it's like, oh nice, we don't have to wait for Gen 9 to get this.
I think the biggest thing to me is like, we obviously like saw a cutscene take place in the wild area, which didn't happen at all in the wild area. Like in Isle of Armor, you see cutscenes, and we had zero cutscenes in the wild area, zero. And that's I think that was the bigger deal for me, because like you have like the scene where like Slowpoke are running through it and that's just really cool to me. Like, give me a little bit of story in the wild area. Give me like a little bit there. I don't need a lot. I don't need a lot. I just need world building. That's all I need.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm excited about with this whole expansion, is that they don't have to play by some of the standard like stepping stones they do with Pokemon games. They don't have to lay it out in a certain story pattern. They kind of have a lot more freedom to do what they want and make the story their own and don't have to abide by all the rules. So I'm hoping they have some ambition with how they're doing it. And from the trailer, it does look like they're showing some new features that they're trying out. So I'm hoping that we get more of that in this, and that they continue that with Crown Tundra, because they don't have to do the, you know, all of the cliched things they like to do with Pokemon stories. They can really
gym leaders.
Yeah. You don't have to route it and path it and orient it in a certain way. They can kind of go how they want, and it can wrap how it wants. And so I'm really excited to see how that plays out, and I'm hoping it's good content.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm very excited for it. This just saved my faith in everything, and I'm very, very happy about that. So on that note, though, I think this is a good place to stop. I mean, I don't have any further ideas. I'll have more in 2 weeks. So, so thank you for that. We're going to kick it on over, though, to the Pokemon of the episode. So we're going to, I think there's like a commercial here or something, right? So we'll catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 815, Cinderace, the Striker Pokemon.
It's skilled at both offense and defense, and it gets pumped up when cheered on, but if it starts showboating, it can put itself in a tough spot.
Okay, wait, so it's the Striker Pokemon, but it's good at offense and defense?
It's not good at defense.
No.
It's not defensively
competent. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not good.
If we're talking about soccer, though, and he's the Striker Pokemon, that's stupid.
Well, I mean, it is the Shield entry, so they wanted to give him some defense. The Sword one's much more aggressive.
So he does have good stats otherwise. Like, he's got a really good... he's got a really good base attack of 116, a base speed of 119, which is really good. Everything else is garbage. His defenses, like Sigma said, are bad. Base 75 defense, base 75 special defense, base 65 special attack, because he's never going to use it. And then base 80 HP.
But he's got like the best ability.
He does. He just got Libero, which is essentially Protean. So any move that he uses will become that type. So he's not even a fire type anymore. He's just a Cinderace. That's what we've learned today. And so we've got this team today from, I guess, a guy named Messi. Is that what he calls
Dragon
himself?
Whale.
Dragon Whale. He calls the team Messi. That makes so much sense. Oh, my gosh. Everything makes more sense to me now. He's calling the team Messi because it's just like, yeah, Messi, the soccer player. But yeah, go ahead, Sigma. Introduce us to Cinderace.
All right. So... since its release, it has already jumped to number one in usage in Battle Stadium singles. So, and this is, I believe, the most common set. I think it's like 60-something% usage with Life Orb. So we have a Cinderace with Libero and Life Orb. With max attack, max speed, and a jolly nature, our attacks are Pyro Ball, because it's really good.
It is good.
Iron Head, because Togekiss is everywhere. Sucker Punch, because priority is very nice. And also because... Dragapult is everywhere as well. And High Jump Kick, because Stab High Jump Kick is very strong. And when you Dynamax, Max Knuckle powers up your attack stat, which makes you terrifying.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
And because he has Libero now, Sucker Punch will one-hit KO Dragapult. So...
Doesn't he get like Bouncer or Aerial Ace too if he wanted to have Max Airstream?
Yes.
If he wanted to go faster...
All three starters get Airstream.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because that was the thing they decided was okay.
Yep.
Even Rillaboom.
That's spooky, man. That is spooky, though.
This will often be your lead in matchups. So.
Yeah, this team is literally just like smash the glass cannons. Or smash like everything. This team is just smash everything looking at it.
Yeah, until you get to the GX lab.
The one that we're going to let you talk about next. Like, let's get that over with, and we'll talk about how we're going to smash things.
Okay, so we've got GMAX Lapras with the Assault Vest item. water absorbability because, well, we don't like water types on this team. So
yeah,
kind of need some protection for it.
Yeah.
Our EV spread's a bit. This is actually like the only non 252, 252.
Everything else is just maxed. Yeah.
We've got 12 HP, 76 defense, 196 special attack for special defense, and 220 speed.
So apparently the reasoning for that is the EVs let it survive Darm's superpower while Dynamaxed. So also two Scarf Darm power, superpowers if you set up the Veil in the first turn. And outspeed four speed Rotom forms. Yeah. And then Max Resonance is guaranteed to Oko a physical defense Hippowdon.
Yeah. This is a very teched Lapras here.
Yes, very teched Lapras.
Anyways, our attacks are Sparkling Aria because it's a Lapras and doesn't get Scald. It has Freeze Dry because that's like the best ice move in the game.
Yeah.
Sheer Cold because one hit KO moves are kind of solid when you have things that you just can't kill.
Mm-hmm.
And Ice Shard just to get like little KOs that you just missed out on.
It's nice to get the priority too of like, yeah, with Lapras, mm-hmm, because like you might be something where it's just like, I almost got him and it's just like, yeah, I need, yeah, to go first or I lose.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kills you just nice. Don't quite get.
Yeah. So. That's nice though. That's very nice. So the next two are literally just there to hit things hard and keep going. Togekiss, which is probably my favorite Pokemon in Gen 8 right now, with Dynamax and BSS. It's good in BSS. It's good in doubles. It's just good.
It's good.
And so he's holding weakness policy as a Togekiss should. It's got the ability Super Luck so that you can just get more crits / flinches. Well, not flinches, just crits. I apologize. Yep. 252 special attack, 252 speed because we gotta get the most out of that 80 base speed. And so he's got Air Slash, Dazzling Gleam, Flamethrower, and Nasty Plot. I think Nasty Plot's overkill, but honestly, looking at this team and like four of the things Dynamax on the regular, I think he needs the Nasty Plot just to get like a slight power boost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once you get a Nasty Plot up,
he's terrifying. Kind of especially if he gets hit with the weakness policy, like you're just done. That's plus four Togekiss.
Mm-hmm.
You're not having a good time. I mean, all those moves are good too. Air Slash, Dazzling Gleam, and Flamethrower. Those are all good. Just good Togekiss tech moves, mostly because of things like Ferrothorn and the such. Excadrill is running Focus Sash with Mold Breaker, 252 attack, 252 speed. Because he's an Excadrill, jolly. And then you're going to go ahead and he's got Earthquake, Iron Head, Swords Dance, and Horn Drill. Horn Drill, mostly because there's no other move for him to know.
I mean, yeah, there's rock moves.
But there's like, you could teach him like Rock Slide, but what are you going to hit with that right now? That you're not
Rock
gonna
Tomb
hit?
Has well, got no. some decent usage.
It's okay. It's not great. Horn Drill's more exciting because we're in battle spots, we're battle stadium.
Yes.
Singles. And I mean, you get to use it. It's fun. I have won more than my share of battles by clicking an Oko move in battle stadium.
I am but a Bisharp, but it is time for the guillotine.
Guillotine Bisharp is something that I have used in the past. So I'm not against the horn drill because sometimes in BSS, like if you bring the wrong thing, like it's just something that you have to do. Like you're just like 30%, let's go. And you click the button.
It's like, if you are not something that is putting pressure on me,
yep,
there's a decent chance I will get the KO.
I might get the KO. Yep. Exactly. So McGee, take us home.
Yeah. So we've got Ferrothorn, the good BSS Ferrothorn set. So he's got Leftovers, obviously running Iron Barbs, an Impish Nature with zero speed because he wants to be as slow as possible. He's not going to ever outspeed anything anyway. 252 HP, 252 defense, 4 special defense. So he's running Curse because Curse makes him stronger and hit harder. And it pairs very nicely with Gyro Ball, so he can smack things even harder with that. Bullet Seed to help break through some substitutes that might be around and get through some sashes if those are there too. And then Leech Seed to keep him healthy and alive. So he's kind of your one piece of stall on your team. Other than that, you're pretty much full aggression. Mm-hmm. And then rounding out the team, we've got Hydreigon with a Choice Scarf, 252 special attack, 252 special defense, 4 special defense, 252 speed, a Timid Nature, and then a very typical Draco Meteor, Dark Pulse, Fire Blast, U-turn. He's a pretty good leadoff if you want to kind of scout out and switch him out and figure out what's on the field.
That's probably true.
But he's got some good things. He can obviously get past Dracapult because he'll outspeed Dracapult with the scarf and just do what High Dragon's been very good at doing for the past 8 years.
8 years. Probably true. No, it's been more than eight. It's been more than eight. It's been nine.
It's been nine? Okay.
It's been nine. Give him a year.
I did a rough guess.
It's 2011. 2011 in the U.S.
2011.
In the U.S. Okay. It was 2010 in Japan.
I see.
Yeah. But he's been around for a while. Terrifying everybody. Is that everybody? Did we finish it all?
That's everybody. Oh, yeah. Cool.
This is a. I mean, this looks fun. Maybe we'll play with this later today. It does look fun, though. I haven't tried Libero yet, so I want to try it. On that note, though, yeah, if you want to try it out, the link to the team is going to be in the show notes, or not in the show notes, on the Discord. So go to the Discord server and you can check out the team with the rental ID and everything. I'm very excited to give it a shot. I hope you are too. So on that note, we were going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time. Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is a part of the show where you can read in emails to the show at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll probably read them. Last week, we gave you guys a prompt and asked you guys to send in emails called asking you how Pokemon has changed your life, and we got a huge response to that. So we'll have a little bit of information about that here in a moment. But as always, this segment is brought to you by the energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
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 Yeah, we did it, guys. All right. So we got like 12 emails this week. It is physically impossible to do 12 without Thatch dying a little bit on the inside. And so we're going to read three here, like we usually do. The other eight we are going to read, but since we're doing the charity stream this week as well, we're just going to do it as part of the charity stream. It will get chopped up into a video for you guys to go ahead and watch on the YouTube channel, probably on Monday as well. So if you want to see your email read live as well, this would be a great way to do it. So let's go ahead and jump into these emails. Our first one is from Bionic. Why not? Give it a go.
Yep. Hey, Puckle people. Bionic, why not here again? This is only the second question I have responded to, but I try to put a lot of thoughtful effort into them. Before I answer the question, I just wanted to tell you that I think all of you in Puckle community are great people and Pokemon experts. Thank you. I enjoy your show week after week, and I love to hear your opinions on everything Pokemon, especially the conflicting ones. Maniacally laughs. Anyway, I should answer the question now. Pokemon has changed my life in a lot more ways than literally changing my brain. It inspires me. It makes me cry, like when Leafeon gets beat up in competitive play, or makes me laugh, like when Leafeon beats something up in competitive play.
It's not as bad as it used to be.
No, it's better. It's a little bit better now.
I mean, there's Jolteon now. We can beat up on that.
Yeah.
It's fine. Jolteon's the garbage.
Yeah.
It's even inspired me to create my own Pokemon region with over 400 Pokemon. I'm 16 and homeschooled, so I have a lot of free time. I know that feeling. It has also changed my life in more material ways, like spending over $60 trying to find Dragonite EX. No regrets. Or having my sister punch me in the face for saying Sylveon isn't the best Pokemon ever. But overall, no Pokemon is a... no regrets. But overall, Pokemon is a huge part of my life in multiple ways and always will be. Signing off, Bionic, why not? Wait, never mind. Side note, what is a Pokemon that you wished got a regional variant? I draw them and I can make them and send them to you through email. Tell me Pokemon types you want it to be and a design aspect of it that you want. Signing off, for real now, Bionic, why not?
That's a heavy question, and I don't
that's
know
a heavy question.
Time to answer.
I've expressed it before in emails I've sent in the past when I was just an emailer, and I always wanted like a Galarian Dugong that was like an electric ice type.
I remember that one.
With elongated horn, kind of getting like a narwhal look to it.
I'm into it. There.
That was
your answer.
That was my thing.
There's your answer.
There's my answer.
I hope you get your narwhal. I hope you get your narwhal.
Gen 4 sprites are awful. Give them a regional form. They needed it more than the birds. They are really bad.
All right. Our next one is going to be from Haley. She like wrote like a title for this email as well. She calls it The Family, The Friend, The Future. Hey, Puckle Crew. I hope you're all doing well. When I was listening to last week's episode, I was in total agreement that this prompt would bring out some truly amazing feel-good stories, and I thought that I would share mine. I will try to make sure that this email isn't too lengthy. It is, though, but that's okay. But as a lot of you, your listeners, answering this question, how has Pokemon affected my life, I could probably write a novel. Or at least a short story, which I think you did. That being stated, I have laid out the biggest impact into three categories: the family, the friend, and the future. The family. Prior to Pokemon even existing, my family had a house on the Merrimack River, just south of St. Louis, Missouri. When the Great Flood of 1993 hit, we lost our home and everything in it. The loss of the home in October, followed by my sister being born that December, created the chaotic situation that with a focus on necessity. The following years, my family was couch surfing wherever we could while my dad was working any job he could provide food and updated baby clothes for the newborn. We finally were able to get our own place in 1995, but all the finances were still based on rebuilding, not recreation. Looking back on it, it hit my parents harder than they let on. We had plenty of hand-me-down birthdays and Dollar Tree Christmases. And as a child, I loved all of it because I had no idea about finances, nor did I have place any value on the cost of enjoyment. But I remember wondering why my parents took down the decorations immediately after opening presents. Around 1998, it started becoming more stable because my dad got a job at the Wonder Bread factory and had a good pay and great benefits. My birthday followed in June. He surprised me with a trip to Walmart, and he had me pick out a Game Boy Color and a game. So for my birthday, my dad gave me a green Game Boy Color, Pokemon Red, and about 100 AA batteries. That's how many you would probably need as a child, honestly. While I had excitement getting playing, he was probably more excited to see me play. We got back to the car and he didn't leave the Walmart parking lot. Immediately we started playing. Started out with Charmander, caught a Caterpie, and continued to battle in Viridian Forest, yelling exclamations every time I caught a new Pokemon. The loudest was when Caterpie evolved into Metapod and then into Butterfree. I was absolutely ecstatic and my feelings were meshed by my dad's excitement for me. He told me years later that being able to afford that Game Boy and game was one of his proudest moments as a father because it marked a shift from financial uncertainty to stability. The friend. I continued to play Pokemon games throughout the years growing up, but mostly by myself. It wasn't until I got to Mizzou where I realized my love for Pokemon is shared by other people in close proximity. My first day in the dorms, I was sitting in the common area watching TV when I overheard someone bragging about how they can speedrun Pokemon Red. Needless to say, I was doubtful at first, but we went to his room and he hooked up his N64 and started playing. Sure enough, by walking through walls and walking on water, he was able to get to Cinnabar Island in 1 hour. A friendship quickly blossomed and we continued to stay in contact through a shared love of music and Pokemon even after college. On one occasion, he came to visit me while I was living in an apartment, and we decided to go to karaoke. He had to dress for the occasion, so he wore his Kanto hat and had all 8 Kanto gym badges, and carried his Bulbasaur keychain with him on the way to the establishment. I feel like I know who this is.
I feel like Snag would do this.
I think this is Bo. After an amazing night of singing and catching up, he went back to my home only to find out he lost his Bulbasaur keychain. I will never forget going back to the restaurant and following the morning and asking the staff, "Did you find a lost Bulbasaur last night while you were cleaning?" They were so confused and my friend was devastated. We still continued to talk on a weekly basis, mostly about Pokemon. Recently, I found out that he goes by Bosifus in the Pokemon Fuckle community. There it is. Okay, I was right.
Oh, okay.
I called it. The future. Almost exactly 20 years from my dad buying me my first Pokemon game, my sister bought my nephew his Pokemon game. Me and him were able to play Let's Go Pikachu together. I do not necessarily enjoy the Let's Go games, but for a child, it was a great bare-bones introduction to Pokemon. The second player to help with the story allowed for his mom to play with him. The dialogue actually helped him read more consistently, aiding him doing better in school. And with the lack of abilities, breedings, and items, allowed for a child to be successful in understanding basic type matchups. I was not in town during this time, but I heard how he was kind of getting interested into Pokemon. I moved back to St. Louis a few months before Sword and Shield dropped and purchased both copies, Sword for myself and Shield for my nephew. With the introduction to Max Raids, we were able to play together and catch Pokemon together without being in the same house. The first raid we did was, in fact, the G-Max Butterfree. I was on the phone with him when we caught it, and his level of excitement was only rivaled by my own state of euphoria 20 years earlier when I evolved my Butterfree in that Walmart parking lot. Considering Pokemon is almost 25 years old, it has impacted 3 generations of my family. Through a sense of security and a sense of community, Pokemon will always remain relevant. Now that Pokemon has reached the level of being cross-generational, I am certain that it will impact more and more families. Thank you for taking the time to read this email, and shout out to Bo for being a kick awesome influence for my life for the past 8 years. Sending love from St. Louis, Haley. That was a good one. That was my favorite one. I read through most of these for the most part, and I saw it. I forgot that it was Bo.
It could have been Snag. I remember him taking around his little.
That's true. It could have been Snag. I'm like, but it sounded like Bo because like Mizzou. That sounds like Bo.
Bo is also like the more likely one to do karaoke, I think.
But. That is probably also true. And also dressing up with the 8 gym badges to go out to do karaoke. Bo just dressed like that's Bo's normal dress. Like he walks around, he's Ash Ketchum, like in real life. He walks around as Ash Ketchum.
I mean, Snag was super happy to wear around his lab coat.
That's true. Stuff. That's true. That's very true. I think you've got another one, Sigma.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna call it Slev.
It's Sleeve or Slevin? I don't even know.
I think it's Slev because Slevin.
Sure, sure.
We have Sleeves, so we're going to go with Slev anyway. But hi, Puckle Crew. Slev here. Slevin, if we're being formal. Huge fan of this mailbag question, so I couldn't resist sending in a response. Pokemon's big impact on me was a strange one. I was an avid player from Gen 1 up to the end of Gen 3, but stopped playing because I went to high school and Pokemon wasn't cool anymore. The last big memory I have from this period was catching my very first shiny ever. It was a Manectric on Route 118 in Emerald's version, and I named him Elvis. I played through the rest of the game with this Pokemon, and he soon became my absolute favorite. Fast forward 10 years to 2016, I just finished university and got my first real job. Used my first paycheck to get a 2DS and a copy of Omega Ruby. I played through to Route 110, headed into the tall grass, and what do I encounter? A shiny Electrike. I felt like Elvis had been waiting for me since 2006. Elvis has followed me into every game I played since then, and has been integral to every team, and now is a huge reason why I'll never stop playing Pokemon again. Love the podcast. Look forward to it every week. Keep up the good work. All the best. Stay safe. Slev.
Well, thanks, Slev. I appreciate that. We got 3. These were really good. I really appreciate them. We're going to have probably less of a deep one for next week. next week, we're going to just ask you guys. We just would ask you to send us emails at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, letting us know what you think of the DLC trailer, what you're most excited for. I'm very excited to see what everybody's opinion are on it, because I think it was very exciting. I think there were a lot of things shown off. And a lot of things in the press releases that we just didn't get in the trailers. So please let us know at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show outside of this, the Green Tauros badge, I almost forgot. If you, I don't know. I'm going to give it to Haley.
That's a hands down.
If she wants to come to the Discord server, she can grab it whenever. She can match Bo in color. Because Bo got it earlier this year. So. Yeah, if you want to come ahead and go ahead and do that, you're more than welcome. But yes, if you want to support the show and outside of this, one, you could go over to patreon.com and help us out at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. But you could follow us on social media over at Twitter, Facebook, and the Instagram. That's the other one. That way you can keep it up with us and know what we're doing. If we decide to do a real quick turnaround charity stream 3 days before it happens, you can be there for that. You can also support us, by just coming to Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast and hanging out with us when we do stream. Additionally to that, you can also, what are the other things I usually say here? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm hitting a blank. But yeah, if you just support us, go to YouTube. We've been doing a lot of cool YouTube stuff. If you want to see the rest of these emails, this will be up on YouTube on Monday. Hopefully, theoretically, it'll be up on Monday. So you can go check out the rest of these emails and or even the Fire Red Nuzlocke, which has just been a time and a half. I really enjoy doing that. I think Whimsicott's on the roster for the next couple of them. And then we're going to switch to Seth Vilo. So it's going to be really cool.
Exciting time.
Yeah, I mean, some cool stuff has happened. So I hope people enjoy
things
them.
Things are going to die in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're really close to getting repartnered on YouTube. Like, we're really, really close. So if you want to help support us, I'd really appreciate that. In addition to that, if you want to support the show financially, you can, of course, go to Twitch, subscribe to us with a free Twitch Prime membership, or actually subscribe or give bits or whatever, though not today. Today we are donating all of the bits to the Bail Project that we receive on stream. And what are the other things? Oh, my gosh. Patreon, obviously, patreon.com/thepucklepodcast or patreon.com/pucklepodcast. Links are in the description. Please don't listen to me. I'm very bad today. And then, of course, you can go to TeePublic, buy some merch over there with the link in our description. You can also go ahead and buy some ramen at Vite Ramen. Use code Puckle for 10% off at checkout. For 10% off at checkout, yes. And I think that's pretty much it. I think there's usually one more thing that I say, and I forgot. But that is it. We really appreciate you guys being here. And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I've been Trader Thatch.
I've been R. Sigma.
And I have been P. McGee.
And it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.